from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports is a funny thing, man. Your opinion on a player, it can change dramatically. It's a how are you doing for me lately kind of world we live in. And one guy who deserves a lot of credit, because he's played incredibly well over the last few weeks, I'd say it's been more than that, the last month and a half, is a guy that most Yankee fans wanted to get rid of. You were done with this guy. You called him a loser. You said he can't be on this team. You may have wanted to trade him at the trade deadline. You certainly don't want him back at the end of the season as he's about to be a free agent. And the guy I'm referring to is, of course, Gleyber Torres. And Gleyber Torres has settled in nicely when he's led off of the New York Yankees. His numbers really going back to when Aaron Boone decided to give him a couple of days. Remember when he was struggling and Aaron Boone said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit this guy. And since that point, July 3rd, Gleyber Torres is hitting .274.
And by struggling, you mean not hustling?
Not hustling, making dumb mistakes, like all that. And by the way, that stuff still exists. I don't want to minimize that. I'm not whitewashing it. Let's be honest about Gleyber Torres. But he's also been very productive. And he's been a really good kind of leadoff hitter, especially lately with Soto and Judge clicking behind them. So I ask you, you starting to kind of move a little on Gleyber Torres, just a little tiny bit?
Well, you're also talking to the wrong guy, first of all. I've always been pro Gleyber Torres. But I would not sign Gleyber Torres to some kind of monster deal at the end of the year.
Right.
So here's what I would say to you. Has Gleyber Torres had such an infuriating year that you're seeing the positive now that he is going to get another one-year show-me deal from somebody at the end of the year? And if it's only a one-year deal, should the Yankees be the team to give it to him? My answer would be yes.
Mm.
But I'm not giving Gleyber Torres the bag, as the kids would like to say, for 5 years or more. Mm. No way. I don't care how good he's been recently.
No matter what he does from here on out, you will never fall that much in love, maybe the way you were a few years ago. Because certainly like 2019 was like the height of loving Gleyber Torres.
But that's, think about where we are. That defines Gleyber Torres. He's a completely infuriating player. And he's infuriating because he can be good. And when he's good, he's great.
No, listen, man, I'm proud of you. Because the toughest thing to do in sports is to stick with your initial feeling on a guy. And it doesn't mean you can't change your mind. Obviously, a performance can change one's mind. But usually you are what you are. And Gleyber Torres has made a lot of mental mistakes. Gleyber Torres does make plays in which he doesn't exert himself fully on the field. So you shouldn't necessarily forget all that stuff because he's playing well. But let's acknowledge he's playing well.
He is. Look, when Gleyber Torres is Gleyber Torres, he could be Robbie Cano. But when Gleyber Torres is Gleyber Torres, he could also be Pat Kelly. And that's the part of it. That's the problem. That's why he will never, ever, ever live up to his potential here. But that doesn't mean you have to boo or hate the guy or not think he could be an important piece to this team's quest for a World Series.
But it has not changed your view long term on him.
No, absolutely not. Again, I could be sold, hey, he gets the Jordan Montgomery treatment. Fine. Let's go. One more year.
Yeah, I think a similar, I know they're not the same player by any stretch, but similar in terms of challenging a fan base on how you feel about a guy now is what's going on with Jeff McNeil. Jeff McNeil has been a very productive player in the second half of the year. I don't think there's any denying that.
Right.
And most Met fans, I was certainly one of them, I raised my hand, who said, my God, once this guy has his value back, trade his ass. Now, obviously very different than Gleyber. Gleyber's a free agent at the end of the year.
Didn't you even pitch that? Gleyber for McNeil? Didn't we even have that conversation on the show?
You said no.
I still would say no.
Well, it's too late now. Yeah. But yeah, you said no because of the contract length. I think that a lot of times, not always, you know, obviously, if you didn't believe in Mark Vientos, you feel very differently about him now. But I think with a guy you've been around with for a while, where you've seen the ups and you've seen the downs, you have to stay calm during both periods and not forget how you feel when the worst is happening.
Right.
And I would agree with you, like, as a Met fan with Jeff McNeil, it's very different because you'd have to trade him. I would certainly go into this offseason saying, I am open and I am listening. And in the Yankee case with Gleyber Torres, it's only similar in that, I'd bring him back maybe on a one-year deal, but I'm not getting in bed with him on a long-term deal just because he's playing well recently.
Especially when you consider Hal's comments on the $300 million payroll and this, that there are other priorities, obviously, with the Yankees and free agency. But, yeah, sure. First of all, let me just say this.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the recent play and based on his entire career, do you think Gleyber Torres is getting a monster deal somewhere?
No, I don't think he's getting a monster deal now. I think he would actually get a contract similar to what Jeff McNeil got, which is, you know, 4 or 5 years, maybe less than that, $12, $13 million a year. I don't think anything crazy.
See, I'm not paying Gleyber Torres for 4 or 5 years. No way.
I don't blame you on that. But you know what's funny? You look at the last few weeks, he's led off every day. And a lot of that is they're facing a lot of lefties, but yeah. He's also been leading off against righties, too. He's become the leadoff hitter for the New York Yankees.
Well, Boone got the hint on Verdugo.
No. Absolutely. By the way, I think we all agree with that.
Yes.
Because it was either Gleyber or Verdugo for a long time.
Yeah.
You know the last Yankee not named Gleyber Torres or Alex Verdugo to lead off? You
I
know
do.
Who that is?
I do.
Go ahead.
We were at the game. It's Jermai Jones.
Jermai Jones. And before that was Ben Rice. And before that was Anthony Volpe.
Right.
Now, Volpe's playing better lately. I can't imagine a scenario where the Yankees would say, you know, Volpe's doing so well, let's stick him back in the leadoff spot.
That wouldn't happen. But I would play Jazz Chisholm leading off before I go back to Volpe.
Jazz is interesting. That's the other guy I would consider. But right now, don't mess with Gleyber.
No, I would not either. Great table setter. And by the way, if he's hitting leadoff home runs before you even get to Judge and Soto, good luck putting them on and pitching around the
Speaking of leadoff home runs, and Luke, you got to fact check me on this because I heard it the other day and I was so fascinated by it. Aaron Judge, who's hit 51 home runs now, is that 51?
Yeah, it's about the first inning.
Has hit the most home runs in the first inning in the history of baseball in a single season.
Which is crazy. Well, it shouldn't shock
you. That's insane.
He's up in the first inning every time, and he's having one of the great home run years of all time.
Babe Ruth was up in the first inning every time he was batting third. Remember, his number was 3.
That's right. Yeah, but you know what? Babe took him a little time to get the hangover
worked
off.
Where did Barry Bonds hit in 2001? For some reason, I want to say he was mostly hitting third. But my point is it applies the same to the other all-time sluggers that they were batting in that spot in the batting order. By the way, Baseball Reference is so awesome. I already know the answer about the San Francisco Giants and Barry Bonds and where he was hitting when he had 73 home runs.
Fourth?
You know what? Do you want to know the answer?
Sure.
He was batting third.
Okay, with Kent fourth?
Yeah. Barry Bonds batted third 136 times that year, 11 times he batted cleanup. Now, the comment I want to make about that, Aaron Judge is the most first-inning home runs in the history of baseball. You heard the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I heard it multiple times on the broadcast this weekend.
Okay. I am so fascinated by it, and my reaction to it is that's awesome. Because some people may hear that and say, oh, he's wasting his home runs in the first inning.
Wasting.
I think the first inning home run is one of the most clutch home runs you could hit because it sets the tone for the game.
Right.
It's never a blowout. Aaron Judge
cannot...
Your
pitcher takes them out with a lead in the second inning.
Right. Or you were down 3-0 and now it's 3-1.
Right.
Like, so many times, A-Rod used to get this all the time. Pete Alonso's been getting it this year where, oh, they hit meaningless home runs.
Stanton,
it's 8-1 in the eighth inning.
Stanton.
Right. You used to say that about Stanton. If you hit a home run in the first inning, it is impossible for it to be meaningless.
No.
Other than you batting around and you're up 9-0 in the first inning, like every home run you hit in the first inning is a monstrous home run.
I also don't have tangible evidence of this, but I think Soto hitting in front of him has a lot to do with it. You are already taxing yourself mentally as a pitcher, figuring out how to pitch to Juan Soto. He's working the count in front of you. Whether you get him out or he gets on base, now it's like you take a deep breath and go, oh, now Judge is up too. And you get, you know, a meatball happens and boom, it's gone.
Yeah, no way to prove it, but it makes sense. Theory sounds nice. Yeah. I can't reject it. Sure, sounds nice.
It's the perfect theory that you can't prove that nobody can tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're right. Like, sabermetricians can't fight you on it. There's no stat to say you're wrong.
Excuse me?
Sabermetricians.
I know what sabermetrics are. I've never heard of a sabermetrician.
That's a person who does it, who performs it.
That sounds like somebody with a sword in a sci-fi movie.
Loogie likes to say they're the guys that, you know, date their cousins or something.
No. Let me be... No, they're not from Alabama. These are the same guys that...
That is unfair to Alabama.
Hey. Well, for the three people that listen to us in Alabama, I apologize.
Alabama's a wonderful state.
Very good state. I said it's the people that bring their cousins to prom, meaning they can't get a date, so they bring their cousin. Evan probably.
Didn't you bring your cousin to prom?
I brought someone else's cousin. A good friend of mine.
Everybody brought someone's cousin to the prom.
Technically,
no,
right.
It was a friend.
I know that dummy.
It was one of my friend's cousins. Pretty hot, too.
So you couldn't find a date, so you asked your friend, can I just take your cousin?
No. You need the whole backstory here?
She's attractive. I'll look good. Everybody would be thrilled.
Wait, it was like having sex?
Wow.
She was hot. She was my friend's cousin. I asked her to prom. So I had a date. It's not that I couldn't find one.
Okay. Yeah, more on Loogie later. Let's go to... Let's go to Jason calling from Great Neck. What's up, Jason?
Hey, gentlemen, it's a pleasure. I think the only thing Gleyber Torres could do to get a multi-year contract is if he pulled like an A-Rod in 2009 in October. That's probably the only way he'll get a team friendly multi year contract.
And by the way, even if he did that, I would still hesitate.
Yeah, even then. World Series MVP in 2009, the Yankees walked to the race.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Okay. So I actually have one question. Do you think the team would intentionally walk Judge with the bases loaded in the playoffs or World Series? Do you think a team would do that?
I think it really depends on the situation. Here's what I find fascinating, and I laid this out yesterday with Sean, for those that don't know. Aaron Judge has never really been pitched around in the postseason. Hasn't happened. Just look at his postseason numbers. Now, in comparison, Barry Bonds in the 2002 World Series was intentionally walked 7 times and was walked unintentionally 13 times.
Wow.
He was put on base 20 times. 20 times! Which is like crazy. Actually, that's not fair. It's not 13 plus 7. Let me fix that. He was walked 13 times in total, 7 of which were intentional.
Think about that. Barry Bonds was intentionally walked 7 times. James Bond was 007.
Really?
I'm serious. That one wasn't even a corny joke.
I mean, it's just,
that was a funny observation.
Is it though?
Yes, it is. Because Barry Bonds was a double agent.
Okay. The point is, Barry Bonds in 2002, the year after he broke the record, but the year where the Giants had an extended playoff run. Remember, Bonds wasn't even in the playoffs in 2001. In 2002, they had an extended playoff run, and throughout the entire postseason, he was walked 27 times in those 3 rounds.
Wow.
Aaron Judge, by comparison, and this isn't the first time Aaron Judge is having a remarkable season. A few years ago in 2022, when he broke the American League record, he was in the postseason. He advanced all the way to the American League Championship Series, and he was barely walked. In fact, the total amount of times he was walked during that entire postseason series in 2022. You want to guess?
Total times, not intentional or walks?
First of all, Aaron Judge has never been intentionally walked in the playoffs in his entire career.
Wait, did we do this yesterday or am I having
days? Yes, I just said we did it yesterday, but I want to make the point for those that didn't hear it.
Once.
He walked 2 times in the entire postseason of 2022. He's never been intentionally walked in his entire postseason career, which featured 198 plate appearances. In comparison to Barry Bonds, who they never face. So the question is, will teams do that to Aaron Judge? Will teams in this postseason, no matter the team, treat Judge the way Bonds was treated in 2002?
They won't, because sadly, I think teams, if once they get in the postseason, Aaron, go prove you could do this in the postseason because you haven't before.
My retort would be, had Bonds proven he could do it in the postseason prior to this?
Probably not.
No, the answer is no. Barry Bonds was considered like one of the huge postseason choke artists. And a lot of it wasn't completely fair when you look at his overall numbers, but it kind of was fair. I mean, because his numbers weren't great. You know what changed that? 2002.
But it's
Barry Bonds' postseason numbers in total are not overwhelming, but they became decent because in 2002, the year in which they walked him 100 times, anytime he was given a pitch to hit, he crushed.
I would love to ask the sabermetricians, though, how many of those times when Bonds was intentionally walked was the guy in front of him immediately on as well? Because that, you know,
every situation matters.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Because with Juan Soto hitting in front of him, I know you don't want Judge to hit one out of the park and you knock in 2 runs, but it's a lot to ask the pitcher to have 2 guys on and then go, boom, let's go get these outs.
So keep this in mind. Number one, in the Giants' case, their on-deck hitter is a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame, Jeff Kent,
right.
Okay? They still took the risk. With the Yankees, it's going to come down to 2 things come playoff time. Number one, how are the guys behind him hitting? How's Giancarlo doing? How's Jazz Chisholm doing? How's Austin Wells doing?
And Austin Wells better start every playoff game.
I think you're safe on that one. And then the second thing is going to be, what is the situation? So our last caller specifically said, would he be walked with the bases loaded? Well, if it's the 9th inning and it's a 3-run game, maybe you do walk him.
I go back
because you're like, I can lose the game on one swing to him.
I go back to the Citi Field Subway Series when Judge did hit that grand slam. I know that I was sitting next to Lugie and we disagreed. I would have walked Judge there. That's a scenario where if you have a big lead by 6 runs or something, I'm giving up the 1 run and I'm intentionally walking.
Every situation differs, but I am intrigued overall to see if he gets the Bonds treatment again. Barry Bonds in 2002 was walked 27 times in 17 games. Aaron Judge walked twice in the 2022 postseason. He has not even been close to being treated the way Barry Bonds was treated during his absolute zenith, which is 2002. It's absurd, but that's just the way he was treated.
Look at you.
What?
The use of the word zenith.
Well, that's an easy word. Zenith.
Yeah. Yeah. Former TV brand.
Wasn't that Ziba?
No. It was Zenith.
Oh, the print? The princess?
No, that was Xena.
Warrior Princess.
Xena was the Warrior Princess. Zenith was one of those nice tube TVs you'd get at, you know, whatever, PC Richard.
Oh, see, I didn't even guess that. I thought you were talking about the Warrior Princess or whatever her name is.
No, you only know Xena Warrior Princess because she was on before or after Monday Night Raw.
Probably.
No.
No?
No.
Walker, Texas Ranger was as well.
No, wasn't it Silk Stockings?
Silk Stockings, yeah.
That was on after Monday Night Raw.
That was after, yeah.
I don't think Xena Warrior Princess was on. Was it on USA?
It might have been. I think Sean might be right.
I never watched Xena Warrior Princess. And what was her brother's name? The guy with the long hair?
Zelda.
No, not Zelda.
He's thinking of Conan the Barbarian?
No, still wrong. The other guy who was the warrior, whatever his name was. Long hair, famous actor. Xena was the sister of this other guy.
George?
No.
Xena brother.
Yeah, who's the brother of Xena? He was more famous in terms
of the...
No.
Lycus.
No.
Caesar?
He was the younger brother of Xena and Taurus.
Oh, I got this completely wrong then. My apologies. I thought there was another show with Michael Sobo, I think his name was. Michael Soro.
Who?
Yeah,
you're thinking of Conan the Barbarian.
Am
Michael Soro, they were just two shows that were on at the same time. They didn't have anything to do with each other, though.
Oh, I thought they were relatives.
Speaking of famous actors, I got a show to stay away from.
Okay.
Zach Morris, Saved by the Bell?
Yeah.
He is in a show where he is a kidnapper that's now kidnapped by his kidnapper named Found on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my wife just got through 13 of the most brutally worst acted episodes I've ever seen of television.
Why'd you get through 13 episodes, though?
I don't give up on shows.
Really?
So it's a 13-episode season one. I was begrudgingly found out they're coming back for a season two.
Doesn't that feel like a waste of time once you realize a show isn't good, for whatever reason, acting, storytelling, whatever it is, to continue to waste your time watching it?
Evan, I'm about to watch a sixth season of Daniel Jones play quarterback. You just don't give up.
That's okay. Touche, sir. Touche. Matt's calling from Hillsborough, New Jersey. How you doing, Matt? Matt! You know what? Screw you, Matt. I want to thank our boss, Ryan Hurley. He got it right out of my brain. And that's why I like him. He knew what I was thinking. Xena's brother is Hercules. That was the show with Michael Soro, Tony Sobo. Hercules!
But Hercules is not in Xena Warrior Princess.
They're related. I guarantee it. Look it up.
Are you sure you're not talking about Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman?
No! Hercules. Thank you, our boss. I appreciate it. Kevin Sorbo. You know what? He should produce, honestly. He should just come in here and be the freaking producer because he just picked it out of my head. You two numbskulls are like looking at me like I got 30 heads.
Because you said Kevin Sorbo, did he not? Which is not
that
fellow's name.
Was that not close enough?
Who?
Kevin Sorbo. Hercules.
Hercules.
You thought they were brother and sister?
They are brother and sister, aren't they?
No. I don't think they are.
Hercules is an only child.
What are you guys doing back there? Google it. Let's go to Jonathan from Shirley, New Jersey. What's up, Jonathan?
How are you, Evan? How's everything?
We're great. What's on your mind?
And I believe you're right. I believe Hercules is Xena's sister. I used to love that show, by the way.
Thank
awesome
you.
Show.
Thank you very much, yes.
All right, Evan, I got a bone to pick with you.
Go ahead.
I love you. I love you to death. But the deodorant thing, my man, it's like you crawled out of a bunker from the Cold War, and all you had was sports channels, and you don't know anything else but sports. It's like... and I love you, Evan. I love you.
I appreciate
it. You had like five channels, and they were all sports and politics, and well, that's it.
Those are the two things, yes. I was about to say, there's a few other things I'm interested in, but yeah, no, you nailed it. I don't think certain things that, you know, big companies like to sell us are necessary. If you clean yourself properly, which I do, I shower multiple times a day, I feel like deodorant can be overrated. But I'm a man of my word. Loogie smelled my armpit earlier on. You could rewind on the Odyssey app to about 225, and I'm going to honor it. I've actually already gone on Amazon, and I've ordered deodorant.
I mean, you peak laziness.
Why is that?
You could throw a tennis ball and hit a pharmacy every 5 feet in New York.
Yeah.
And you had to order deodorant on Amazon?
Yeah, I still like to. There's certain stores I like to go into. Like, for example, clothes. I still prefer to go into a clothes store and buy clothes, try it on, kind of feel the fabric and all that. Baseball gloves, still like to go in there, feel the baseball glove. Love it. But most other things, I don't need to be bothered. Like, do I really need to go into a drugstore to buy deodorant? You just go on Amazon.
Who are you? You used to be a man of the people.
I am a man of the people.
You know how many cashiers are losing their job daily because of Amazon?
Listen, I understand and I feel bad, but I also have to be me and I have to be honest. I mean, do I have to do something just to make everyone who has a job happy?
You should.
Really? Then for everybody in the state of New... Oh, no, I got it backwards. Crap. Ah, forget it. I'm going to move on. Let's go to Rob in Hawthorne. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Evan. Guys, what's up? Quick question. I guess anyone can answer it, but it's a Gleyber Torres question.
Yeah.
So he's coming up. He's going to be looking for a deal. No one's going to give him much. He's going to finish the season with, like, 18 home runs, 15 RBIs, hitting 250, which is a middle-of-the-road, maybe above-average second baseman. You know what you get from Gleyber. The team's gelling. And I'm not any kind of fan. Just as an IBO, as you would say.
Yes.
That's just on the PL if you're not wearing deodorant. But as an IBO, if Gleyber were to hit the market, what kind of deal would he get? And why wouldn't the Yankees bring him back? Because, like I said, you know what you're getting with him. The team is gelling, and he had all that extra money to pitch to Soto. I don't see the need to get rid of him.
So I think you hit on the last part. If I had to guess a contract, that's really, really tough to guess on a player like that. I think it's easier for the elite.
Right.
I think you're looking at 4 years, $45 million. Is that fair? Kind of in that range?
Yeah, and that's cheap on price.
Cheap-ish.
But
I mean, it's still $13, $14 million a year.
I don't want to be committed to a guy who has a track record of not hustling, being, a very streaky hitter. That's just not the guy I want locked up long term.
Okay, so here's the other reason. Here's the other thing that you need to think about. And it does lead into a discussion about Juan Soto. Juan Soto is going to cost whoever signs him, but for the sake of this argument, he re-signs with the New York Yankees, a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah.
And one of the arguments always brought up against me when I say, look, Hal said he doesn't want to have that high of a payroll is, yeah, if they re-sign Soto to go along with paying Aaron Judge, to go along with paying Garrett Cole, let's say tacking on another year to his contract because Cole opts out, they're going to probably try to go cheapish at other positions.
Yep.
Okay? You have a guy ready to go to be your everyday second baseman who does not make a lot of money, and his name is Oswald Peraza. You have another option to be your everyday second baseman. He's on this roster. He's going to be here for a few years. His name is Jazz Chisholm.
And you have the other guy that Cashman thinks he outsmarted everybody on.
Who's that?
Yorbit Vivas.
And you've got, sure, I wouldn't throw him in necessarily as a guy who could be the starting second baseman, but fine.
Little birdie told me.
Yeah.
Cashman's already peacocked that's their second baseman.
Okay, maybe he is. Okay. So you have these internal options that are already here and for the most part not making a lot of money. So I think if the Yankees are successful in keeping Juan Soto and paying him the kind of contract they're going to have to give him, which I think is going to be absurd. Good absurd, I would do it, but really a lot of money. I think you got to cut corners. And one of the places to cut corners would be second base. Now, what's going to help Gleyber Torres? The second base free agent market is not very good. You know who the second best free agent is at second base?
No.
Jorge Polanco.
Okay.
Brandon Drury. Adam Frazier. Like, it's not a great list. So I think that'll help him in free agency. But I think the Yankees have to prioritize Juan Soto.
Of course they do. Of course they do. And then if they have any money left over, it's prioritizing another bullpen arm.
Yeah. Well, you got to keep Clay Holmes. He's a free agent.
Oh. You know,
I hate talking about the offseason, but it just naturally comes up, especially because Jeff Passan decided to get Met fans all wound up with the latest article he wrote about Juan Soto's free agency. We'll give you the Cliff Notes and give you our opinion on how this is going to play out with the generational talent that is Juan Jefferson Lugauer Aloysius Soto. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. We got football to get to as well, plus the Mets situation as they begin a three-game series in Arizona. We are live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody. I don't think Hercules and Xena are brother and sister, because I've Googled it, and apparently they hooked up. So I'm going to go with they're not brother and sister, but you never know.
You just proclaimed Ryan Hurley should produce the show. He was wrong.
Right. No, he didn't say they were related. He told me the name Hercules, which none of you guys could have thought of. I said Xena's brother or other show.
And his answer was Hercules.
Whatever. He got it right. Hercules. You know why I say Hercules? Because I think of, what's that movie?
The Nutty Professor.
Yes. Hercules.
I was assuming you were thinking of the Powers of Pain, the old WWE tag team. With the Warlord Hercules.
Older Hercules Hernandez.
And the Warlord, yes.
And the See, I don't think of Hercules with the Warlord. I think of him being a guy who somehow found himself on WWE pay-per-views all the time. Meanwhile, he wasn't any good. I also remember Hercules for this. Here's a trivia question. On the night where Macho turned on Hogan and the Mega Powers exploded, right after Hercules fought a one-on-one match, who did he fight?
Dino Bravo.
Are you right?
I swear I was going to say Dino Bravo. And I swear I was going to say Dino Bravo.
Well, no one cares what you swear you were going to say.
Jeez.
When we come back, we'll give you the answer.
Do you know the answer?
I don't. I forgot. I'm going to Google it.
Okay, but he did actually wrestle after. You didn't just pull this out of thin air.
1,000%. We'll give you that answer. Plus, we'll get into the Juan Soto stuff. Evan and Tiki. Tiki off today here on The Fan. It's a busy Tuesday afternoon here in New York. The Mets are back in action tonight. More on them a little bit later on as they open up a huge 3-game series against the Diamondbacks. Yankees took care of business last night against the Nationals, highlighted by Aaron Judge making a great leaping catch and immediately turning it into an 8-3 double play. But something came out this morning that caused a lot of Met fans and Yankee fans to get hot and bothered. Jeff Passan, who I will tell you for my money is probably the best pound-for-pound baseball reporter out there. Like, he drops the bombs, the massive bombs.
I agree.
And so when Jeff Passan says something, you're like, oh, that's going to happen. When Bob Nightingale says something, you're like, let's wait and see about that.
Some might call that guesswork.
So Jeff Passan wrote a preview of free agency, which I kind of hate because we're in the middle of this season. We're in the middle of a great season. The Yankees are clearly going to go to October with a legitimate chance to win the American League East. The Mets are, for now, in a pennant race, 3 games behind Atlanta.
No, the only thing you can say clearly about the Mets is they're clearly going to go to Arizona for a 3-game series.
Right, they're in it for now. Yeah. I mean, look, things could get ugly. More on that later. So it's kind of weird to hear about free agency. It's very NBA-like. That's the one sport where we seem to look ahead to free agency more than any other sport. But I read it. You know, I'm a subscriber to ESPN Plus, so it was under the pay microscope, if you will. Ugh. So I read it. So I'm going to provide, while giving Jeff Passan credit, because he's a great reporter, I'm going to provide the highlights for you out there. You guys ready?
Sure, Ev.
There's a quote from Francisco Lindor about Juan Soto. Quote, "When it comes to the outfielder from across our borough," Lindor said, "he's having a fantastic year, and I hope he goes out there and breaks every record, breaks every record out there, and when it comes to getting paid, if it's with us, it'll be fantastic. He'll help us a lot."
Suspend him immediately for tampering. Are we sure he's not talking about Alex Verdugo? He's a free agent.
Well, first of all, who cares? Yeah, no kidding. I mean, Francisco Lindor thinks Juan Soto's great. Yeah, Francisco Lindor hopes a fellow player breaks the bank, kind of like he did when he got, before free agency, over $300 million. There's nothing about that quote. This is me speaking to my fellow Mets fans. There's nothing about this quote that says, wink, wink, we're going to get him. Nothing!
Of course.
It's a player talking glowingly about another player and rooting for their financial success. You with me on that?
Yeah, and before you read anything else, I'll just say, I don't care what else you give me out of this, and I'm going to let you do it. There is nothing that's going to come out of this report that's going to surprise me. It's the Mets and Yankees. They're going to bid each other, and may the best bidder win.
And that's exactly what's reported. Jeff Passan says many agents believe, you know, the Red Sox, the Cubs, both LA teams will make a push. But once that number starts to get higher, many league sources believe it will come down to the New York Yankees versus the New York Mets, behemoth versus behemoth. The most, quote, the most enthralling free agency battle imaginable.
And we're going to need it if the Jets and Giants stink.
So I kind of agree with you. Like, we figured this. I mean, Steve Cohen, when he bought the team, the dream that every Met fan had was this. Mm-hmm. When an elite-level free agent becomes available, you're going to do everything you can to sign that guy. The New York Yankees, despite some Yankee fans maybe not being happy with ownership over the years, did sign Gerrit Cole a few years ago.
Yeah.
They did do that. They have shown you. They just re-signed Aaron Judge 2 years ago.
You betcha.
They have shown you that ability to spend. So, yes, Jeff Passan believes this will come down to the New York Mets versus the New York Yankees. I think we all believe that.
Right.
And the question is, what's he going to do, and how far do the Mets go?
I think it comes down to a very simple proposition.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. Ooh. You get quality. Ah. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Steve Cohen can reach, I guess in theory, deeper pockets than Hal. We could debate that. The Yankees are still worth an unreal amount.
The Yankees are worth more than the Mets. Cohen is worth more than Hal.
Personal wealth.
Yeah, is absolutely. That's the way I would
liquid
describe it.
Cash, no doubt about it. Ultimately, it's going to come down to whether Hal Steinbrenner can stomach being outbid by the crosstown team and having the fan base basically revolt against the Yankees.
Well, there's two stomach questions for Hal. And again, under the assumption Steve is going to bid greatly for Soto, and my understanding is that they will. They are going to almost hand them a blank check. We'll see if it works. Two stomach questions for Hal Steinbrenner. A, the stomach of, like you described it, being outbid by a crosstown rival, by little brother. And then B, the stomach for giving out a contract that's going to be record-breaking.
Yeah.
Because we made predictions on this months ago. I saved it, our long-term prediction file on what this contract's going to look like. To me, this contract is hitting the $600s and possibly $700 million. I think it's that high. Yeah. I think he could get 15 years based on how young he is. And I think he could get $50 million a year based on how good he is. So do the math. What's 50 times 15? Do it off the top of your head. Let's see how smart you are.
500 would be 50 times 10.
Go ahead. Just give me the number.
750.
750. Nailed it. So could he conceivably get $700 million? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he can. So does Hal have the stomach to hand out that kind of contract?
I think he does, and he better. He better.
Yeah, you're warning him.
This is not Robbie Cano to Seattle. This is unrecoverable in the eyes of public perception from an ownership standpoint.
Because it's the Mets. Like, let's say it's Angels who bid on him.
I do think it plays into it.
Okay.
I do.
I want to read a tweet that I read this morning from a random person on social media, but somebody that I follow.
All right.
Their Twitter account's name is, quote, Rational Yankee Fan.
Oh.
I like Rational Yankee Fan. I do. Don't
Nick
know this person.
Burner?
It's not McMahon. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, to be perfectly honest with you. But there is a Twitter account called Rational Yankee Fan. I follow the person because as a sports fan, I like to follow different opinions on all the different teams in our area. You know what I mean? I like to hear all different takes.
So you just follow a bunch of random people.
Well, I think that Rational Yankee Fan's a good follow. Like, I would advise, if you like to hear rational Yankee opinions, that you follow this Rational Yankee Fan.
All right.
But I wanted to give you an example because Rational Yankee Fan tweeted something this morning, just an opinion, that jumped out at me.
All right.
Really jumped out at me to the point where I wanted to bring it up here on WFAN at 3:43 in the afternoon. So to Rational Yankee Fan, again, not even, I don't know who you are. Man, woman, child, senior citizen, I have no idea.
They have a picture at least and not an
No. Answer. It's a picture of Ricky Ledé, I think.
Then how are they a rational Yankee fan?
I think it's Ricky Ledé. I got to look again. Hold on a second. For some reason, I thought it was Ricky Ledé, but I may have been looking very, very quick because I don't really pay attention to
rational.
They call it the avatar of someone on social media.
Rational Yankees fan?
Let me see. Yeah, it's Ricky Ledé. Is that Ricky Ledé?
Yeah, I got a different rational Yankees fan that's Babe Ruth in a Red Sox jersey.
No. Rational Yankee fan.
Okay.
Yeah, Yankee baseball thoughts minus the hysteria and stupidity. Occasional personal finance investing commentary. Okay. So anyhow, I like Rational Yankee fan. Now, no idea how I found this person, but I started following them because I enjoyed their rational opinions.
Okay.
I want to read you a tweet about Juan Soto's free agency, and then I'd like to respond. I'd like to hear Lugie's response, and of course, Sean, I'd like to hear your response. You ready?
Okay.
A major low point for the New York Mets organization and their fan base this offseason will be when they outbid the Yankees for Juan Soto and he chooses pinstripes anyway. At some point, it's just not worth dedicating the rest of your career to playing in Queens for an organization that falls flat on its face at every single opportunity. Soto will be filthy rich no matter where he signs. If the Yankees try at all to retain Juan Soto, which they will, I don't think this free agency will be nearly as dramatic as the media will make it out to be. Let me address this first part. To rational Yankee fan, I'm rational Met fan, and I have nothing but respect for you. That's a bunch of crap. And I can only speak for myself on this. If the New York Mets outbid the New York Yankees, and Juan Soto says, look, I appreciate it, thank you, I'm going to stay here. This will not be the low point for the Mets organization. I will probably say on the radio, Steve should have gone further. Like,
You're the Mets. You're not the Yankees. I know that. We all know that. And we know because of that, that, yeah, you got to go the extra mile. You're not winning a tie race to get Juan Soto. You may not even win a close race. You've got to blow him away.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe that's my opinion, it's the exact same thing I said about Yoshinobu Yamamoto. That if you really wanted him, sorry, you didn't need to be the highest bidder. You needed to leave no doubt. We call that strategy shock and awe. But I do take umbrage with the idea that this is going to be the major low point for the Mets organization. I also take umbrage that Soto would pick the Yankees over the Mets because of the Mets organization's continuously falling flat on their face. If he chooses the Yankees or the Mets, it would be because he likes being a Yankee. It's fun. There's a roll call. They're pretty historic.
Right.
So I don't know if that's an inner Met dislike, but I will tell you as one Met fan, I strongly disagree with that. You hold on a second. I want to hear from Positive Tommy. Do you agree with that assessment? What's your opinion?
So, okay. So this is Positive Tommy, the rational Yankee fan. If the Mets are the highest bidder and Soto stays with the Yankees, it would not surprise me at all. I don't think it's a bad look for the Mets. I think it's a bad look for the Mets if they're not the highest bidder.
Agreed.
Of course, because I think this has been, no pun intended, the apple of Steve Cohen's eye. But it's not bad if he sticks with the greatest franchise in the history of sports and wants to play with Aaron Judge and the Yankees. I wouldn't have an issue with that. I think the Mets have to get to a certain point, and if they get to the point where guys like Juan Soto should be coming here, then I'd be upset, but it's a little too early for that.
Yeah, I think our anger will probably be more at the owner and say, hey, you're supposed to be outbidding everyone for this, and maybe I'll go a little too far and say, you didn't outbid them enough. Because the Yankees are the Yankees. The Mets aren't the Yankees. Nobody is suggesting, I don't care how positive you are, that the Mets are going to match the Yankees' offer, and Juan Soto's going to say, you know what? I love OMG. I love Queens. I'm just going to come there. No
Great
one thinks
rice
that.
Rice balls in right center.
What?
Great rice balls in right center.
Okay.
That's a thing the Mets have over the Yankees.
Okay.
Boy, don't get so sensitive.
Well, I want your opinion on this. And I actually have no idea what he just said. Something about rice balls in right center field?
It was a food reference to the rice balls that are in right field.
I'm giving you something the Mets have over the Yankees.
Sean, I go to almost like every Met game.
I know.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Because you don't enjoy the finer things at Citi Field. It's the truth.
I'm like, what is he talking about?
I think Evan thought it was like a Ben Rice reference, maybe.
No. I thought for a second it was.
Yeah.
Fantastic. You get like six. You pick them the different ones. Forget it, Evan. Way over your head. Look, there's some things I agree with there and some things I disagree with. I do think the Mets are going to have to blow him away. The one thing he said there that I think is 100% accurate, Juan Soto will end up a Yankee, and it will not ultimately be as dramatic as many of us and the writers make it seem. Just like Aaron Judge's really wasn't as dramatic as we made it seem. Yeah, well, you know, Hal had to call him. I don't think he's going to end up back there. I don't think that Hal is ever going to let it get to a point where the Mets can blow away the Yankees because the Yankees have a ton of money too. But it's not going to be the low point in the Met frame. Boy, we've seen six more low points in this season alone.
That's what I'm saying.
So there's no way it's the low point, and I will take it a step further. I will be Positive Tommy for a second. The best thing that is going to happen to the Mets and their franchise and the ultimate dream of finally winning a World Series for poor Evan Roberts and the next book he wants to write.
I do want to write another book now about a world championship.
Is going to be that they're going to miss out on Juan Soto. Because the moment they miss out on Juan Soto to the Yankees, Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees are going to be tapped out like my father when I would ask for $20 to go to an arcade on a Friday night. And any free agent over the next 5 years that becomes available that Steve Cohen covets and wants, he will be able to outbid anybody for. And instead of getting one Juan Soto, the Mets are going to end up with three or four really, maybe that's Corbin Burns right off the bat here, three or four really good solidifying finishing pieces on top of what they already have built with this core. And dare I say, you could quote me on this now, and maybe this will come back to haunt me, and I'll deny ever saying it. If the Mets over the next 3 years don't have Juan Soto and have the Yankees out on bidding for any of these guys, the Mets will be closer to a World Series again than the Yankees will be.
Well, yes and no.
They'll have a more complete team.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that, only from this standpoint. Free agency is not like this amazing store where you buy all these incredibly young Picassos and they all work out. Like, let's use Corbin Burns as an example. We don't want Corbin Burns. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Could get hurt.
He wants an 8-year contract and he's 30. Like, there's concerns around that. Juan Soto and why his free agency is so special is because he's unique. he's not only on his way to a first ballot Hall of Fame career, he's 25 years old, and very rarely are you ever going to see a free agency like that. So while I appreciate the way you kind of described it, if you give me the choice, I'd want Juan Soto on my baseball team, just like anybody would.
Because it's the most immediate thing, and no doubt about it, he's rare.
It's not
and you're
just
getting
immediate.
A top five player in baseball. I understand
it's
all of that.
It's not the immediacy thing. It's the other things you mentioned. It's because he's 25, and he's one of the best hitters I've ever seen.
I'm not telling, you to be happy about it, but what I am telling you is you have to look at it from the other side. The team you would lose Juan Soto out to be is going to constantly, or would have been a constant threat to any other free agent.
No, I agree with that point. That would almost shut down their bidding.
Yes.
I
and
totally
you're eliminating
get that.
A team that Steve Cohen has to worry about for any, and I have to admit, whether it's Vientos, I know Alvarez has struggled of late. You know, you go down and down the line. I like what the Mets core has building here.
Yeah.
They're not that far away from a couple
of country
pieces.
No one is looking at missing out on him as end of the world. Like, oh my God, what do you do? I don't know what to do. That's ridiculous. Of course you know what to do. It's just that you want to go get him.
Of course.
That's the bottom line.
You want to finally feel validated that Steve Cohen is the prince that was promised.
Yes, and that's why, and I'm not sure if this would ever work this way in free agency, but you almost want to go to Scott Boras and say, we will beat whatever offer you get by name the percentage. Just so it's known, we're not only going to be the highest bidder, we're going to be the highest bidder by a lot. Because honestly, that's how you get him. Like, if we're just going to have an honest conversation, and I said the same thing about Yamamoto. If you want him, you can't just be the highest bidder. You need to leave no doubt. So 15 years, $750 million may sound absurd right now to your ears, but when you really start to break it down, is it $50 million a year? Okay, it's not. That's not that crazy when you compare it to what Aaron Judge is making.
Mm-hmm. It's not. I think he's going to go north of 50.
Okay. $50 million a year, and yeah, I pay him till he's 40, thinking, you know what, last few years, stick him as a DH. He's such a brilliant hitter that I'll be okay. Now, if you come in day one of free agency, and this is probably stupid negotiating, but say 15 years, 750, that's the kind of shock and awe contract offer that could get that bad boy done. I promise we'll come back with your calls. A lot of people want to react to that. Plus, we got a lot of football stuff to get to as well. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki. Tiki is on another continent, but he will be back soon.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.